19th, 2017, at 7:00 p.m., and I'm calling this public hearing to order. We are going to be looking at ordinance number 30-2017, amending section 1157.12, front yard parking prohibited. Present this evening are council members, Mrs. Capellini, Mr. Frye, Mr. Hanem, Mrs. Hussman, and myself, and Mr. Mishka. Additionally, from administration is Economic Development Director Bill Sanford, Service Director Kevin Aller, our Law Director Leslie Brining, and Mayor Stow is joining us. And I believe that Clerk of Council, Mrs. Booker, will be stepping in as well. In this public hearing, we will welcome public comment, as I shared before, ordinance 30-2017. This was referred to the Sylvania Municipal Planning Commission and discussed at their regular meeting on May 10th of 2017. The Planning Commission did approve the proposed ordinance incorporating some changes, however, that were detailed in a letter that the zoning administrator prepared. Mr. Aller, I'm going to invite you to maybe take a few moments to share that. That information was included in your last packet, the last meeting notice packet. So, Mr. Aller, maybe you could just share a little of that detail.
Thank you, Mrs. Wilson. At the initial meeting, we had a very loose legislation that limited the portion of the driveway for parking area, which is a parking driveway and parking area, on the residential lot to 35% of that lot. That was our initial proposal. During discussions, there was concern that some of our older subdivisions may only be 40-foot lots, and so that's going to restrict them to about a 14-foot driveway, which wasn't wide enough for today's standards when you think, you know, how many vehicles you have. If you have a 16-year-old or older, you probably have 3 vehicles in your house. And, you know, if you have a couple kids that age, that number is declining. So in order to be able to accommodate those cars, the concern was that we only had a single access driveway, you know, that they weren't, the normal homeowner wasn't going to be able to park their own vehicles within their property. So the suggestion was take a look at, you know, how we could modify that to accommodate those situations. So what we did is take a look at a typical 18-foot wide driveway, which is, you know, some driveways are 16 feet in residential areas, but if you look at parking spaces, they're usually at least 9 feet wide. And so we use 9 feet as a guideline, and we look at 18 feet. So what we did is modify that language so that we increased the percentage of that front yard to
40 feet is 45, yeah.
Yeah, we modified that, so at 40 feet or less, you'd be able to utilize 45% of your front yard. And our zoning code identifies front yard as property line to property line, front of house to right of the line. Now that, it's not necessarily the front of the house, but it's the building line. So building line typically 25 feet. Most homes follow that. It can vary, but that's what we use as a guideline. And then, of course, if you get to 50 feet, then you've got a little more frontage available to you, so we reduce that at the maximum amount of area, it could be 40%. And then once you get above 50 feet, then you're into the range where we're at the 35% that we're originally at. And we kept that 35% larger than that, because once you start getting larger than that, then you start getting the potential for third-car garages. You have the wider lots, so maybe you have an area off to the side of the garage that they want to put for additional parking and things like that. So we kept that at 35% for those third-car garages and the larger lot sizes. Most of the lots that we have nowadays are in the 70-foot range, just a typical residential lot, but we do have some that are larger. So we just kept that possibility open, code. The staff wasn't comfortable that it actively restricted, because it does say that we can't have off-street parking. Well, the step back, the driveway is in what's identified as the front car. So, you know, technically, the driveway creates our own zone. So the language is a little ambiguous, that we wanted to clean up with this language here, so.
Thank you very much, Mr. Allen. And the planning commission supported these recommendations, and that's what they approved or recommend. Okay.
Kevin, I think I missed this. If you have a pie-shaped lot, where do you measure the width?
Typically, we'll take an average of the front and the center.
Okay. So cul-de-sacs?
Right.
Have that, okay.
And Kevin, you indicated that you looked at other legislation from other communities as you prepared this legislation, is that correct?
Yeah, we pulled the original language, we kind of pulled that from language that the city did for kind of their zone code, and then we modified it to meet our concerns.
Very good, thank you. Mrs. Branning, anything to add?
No, Mrs. Westphal.
With that, we'll open up for public comment. We do have one person here. I don't know for sure what you're here to speak in favor of or opposed.
Pretty much opposed.
Okay. So since there's no one else here, I'd invite you to step up to the microphone, introduce yourself and your address, please.
My name is Rita Sarver, and I live at 5055 Maple Drive. Home, cheap, and it looks like you live out in the country. I don't, you know, I wanted to live in the country where people pull their cars up to their barn. That's where I live, and I don't. I live in Sylvania because it's a nice city to live in, and hopefully people, more people than not, take pride in their homes.
Thank you, Mrs. Sarver. Mr. Eller, have you seen these pictures?
I have not seen the pictures until now.
This legislation would address these issues, wouldn't it?
Yes, it will to a degree. Some of these lots, I'd have to check the lots out to see for sure, but if the picture at 5117 Maple shows the parking on the grass, that is, that actually shouldn't be occurring now.
It's against the code.
Mrs. Sarver does see that occurring. She should contact the zoning office and we'll take a look at it right away because we can't, we're not out patrolling looking for this, but if we see it, we can address it. But if somebody lets us know that it's happening, then we go out and take a look and address the homeowner and tell them that they can't do that. So that is not permitted in our current zoning code. Picture of 5015 Maple, that is the driveway. That's kind of the driveway that got this revision started. When we took a look, we thought that our zoning code, prevented this. But when we took a look at it, that ambiguity that I talked about was realized. And there's really nothing in our current code that would prevent them from going all the way across. So what we're trying to do is restrict this type of thing. Most of the time when you see these, you'll see them to, if they have room available, you'll see them to the lot line side,
right,
of the drive. But as you can tell, their lot line is, their existing driveway is pretty much on the lot line. So they really don't have that option to go to that side. So they would have to come in. Our current code does permit, I'll address these other pictures, but our current code does permit stone, does consider stone as a hard surface for driveways. So
this 5015 would be acceptable as it is?
That's correct, yes. And the next picture at 5023 Maple, and then actually the next two pictures at 5023 Maple, neither of those drives, we have talked to that homeowner, and there's actually another driveway across the street if you happen to go and take a look at these. You are not permitted to have stone in the, for your driveway approach. That has to be asphalt or concrete. The purpose of that is primarily to keep the stones and dirt out of the streets and out of the storm sewers and things like that. So we have talked to that homeowner and indicated to them that they do have to get those items corrected. And we've basically given through this construction season to get that accomplished. It's not something that the cost of doing so is going to be fairly steep. And so we're giving them some time to get the money saved up to do that. The garage, we've also talked to the homeowner about the garage that it was not in good shape and we've indicated that it either needs to be fixed or torn down at their discretion. And I believe they're moving forward on tearing it down. But we have talked to them about the condition of the garage and we need to get that corrected too. It doesn't have anything to do with this legislation, but I just wanted to address it since she brought it up.
Mr. Allen, a question. The stone area that we see in 5015, you indicated that our zoning does allow room for stone. Are there times when, like you referenced the other driveway, where they're required to have asphalt or concrete? Can you tell me, I mean, is it appropriate to have legislation that requires asphalt or concrete in there versus stone in a front yard?
You can do that.
Have you seen that?
You can add the requirement of asphalt or stone for driveways or parking driveways or parking areas. It's just our current, we were going towards the route of trying to restrict that full span of stone, concrete, asphalt across an entire property.
I can't picture too many.
Most of them are on the, they were in the older sections of the city. In the newer sections, you know, you typically won't have.
But are there cases where the driveway surface differs, where part of it's concrete and part of it's stone? And if so, I would imagine that the concrete would be in the front of it, and as it goes back further, it would be stone. And if that's the case, are there cases that we know of like this where the expansion is stone? Or is, I guess that's the question.
We do have some areas like that. One of the things that came into play is when we modified the RV and recreational vehicle language a few years ago.
Right.
The language was added that it had to be hard surface. And so we have several areas that were expanded off to the side of the driveway with stone. And for the parking of those RVs and or recreational vehicles. So.
And stone was acceptable as hard surface?
Yes.
You made the comment, an existing stone driveway is grandfathered in until the property changes hands. But you
would have to be for my law director on that.
Sure.
I think it would be even longer.
Longer than that.
The one here is... One here at 5015 is in the right of way, at least some of it.
Isn't some of it?
So some of it would have to be corrected per current code.
You're correct.
Mrs. Tessman, Kevin. Thank you. You said, I think, that this, if you're on, like, I'm thinking of one house in particular that's on on Main Street, just before Holland-Savania. And I had complained at one point because they were parking on the grass. This is right across the street from the apartments, the water thing. Mm-hmm. And so I complained about that they were parking on the grass because I knew that wasn't allowed and it's right there on the main street. And I had had a previous complaint from a citizen about that area, so I was sensitive to it. So I complained, and what they did is put stone in their front yard. But you just said, I think, that stone can't go up to the street.
Correct.
So I'm trying to think in my mind if there's a sidewalk there, and so does the sidewalk mean, but they have to have stone, they're driving in the grass if there's a sidewalk there to get to the stone that's in their front yard.
Now that particular residence does have stone in the area. It's not supposed to be stone as well. So I was out in that area checking on some other things, not related to this at all,
right,
and noticed that driveway.
Yeah.
So that has stone for sense.
That stone is a recent, and I'm sure it was because they were told that they couldn't park in the grass. And I think Ms. Starber's going to have the same situation. If you tell the people they can't park in the grass, they'll put stone there like the other neighbor did, and that doesn't really answer her situation, I don't think. So it's
we have not proposed changing the language in the existing language in the code regarding hard surface, what defines a hard surface. But that's certainly something that we can propose modifying.
I think that's something to think about in this circumstance. But let me ask you this question. On 5015, the mayor asked you a question. You said part of that is in the right of way. Can you help me understand kind of what you're referencing?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell here because you don't have sidewalks, but the right of way, probably where that, okay, when the driveway angles back, that's probably approximately the right of way line.
Okay.
So anything between that and the street, per our code, should be either concrete or asphalt. And we have talked to this homeowner about that some of that is going to have to be.
Or it could be grass. Could it be grass?
Grass only if he does not intend to park there at all.
But he could drive over the grass to get to his parking area.
Yeah. And then you've got mud and everything else. Yeah. And it's the, you know, he modified this so that you can see he doesn't have to increase the curb cut and things of that nature. This was not a permitted driveway. One of the things that we're trying to get, as we see these going on, is they are supposed to
it was permitted, even though it's not really to code right now, that's been permitted as allowable?
That was, well, we provided a permit for the work to be done, but then we informed him that that area.
You did say that, okay, thanks.
Question for you, or the law director. I know some communities allow stone driveways for a specific period of time, maybe a year or two. What would happen, Mrs. Brining, if council considered legislation saying that any new stone areas must be paved within a year, and any existing stone areas must be paved within 5 or 10 years? What are we doing with signs on poles? That we grandfather them in for a specific period, and thereby eliminate them through the community. Now, that's going to create some hardships in some cases, in some neighborhoods. But obviously, Maple is a nicer neighborhood, and we don't want it to go backwards. So, there are some neighborhoods where that might be more common, and we wouldn't want to do that. But that could be a solution that I've seen in other communities, that it's only permitted for a specific period of time. There was a fairly, to me, fairly well-known one on Apple Meadow. There was one house on that street that had a stone driveway since it was built, but that's in a subdivision, and it remained that way until the most recent owner apparently paved it. I've noticed it's gotten better. Mr. Fry's familiar with that house, too. It's very close to the bridge.
I'm looking at the back of it every day.
There seems like there ought to be some solution here. The proposed legislation is going to help with limiting the amount of hard surface in a front yard. It isn't right for somebody to pave the whole front yard. That, especially if they're doing it to run a business out of their house and they're parking pickup trucks and stuff.
So Mayor, there was one recently changed in Lincoln Woods where they put a U-turn in. Have you seen that? Was that one that was permitted? Because
yeah, he has seen it.
That looks awfully. It looks like it's more than the 40%.
That one would probably exceed the 40% or 35%. I'm not sure on the width of the lot. But that one probably exceed the language as we proposed.
So the second question I have is, what happens for construction that's already been done? Is it grandfather or
was it in place?
Yeah. Okay.
There's some question whether there was a permit pulled on that one.
There initially wasn't, but there has since been pulled, yes.
Beg forgiveness rather than permission. Yeah. That seems to be standard. I don't blame the homeowner, I blame the contractor. The
contractor, it's amazing how many contractors didn't know they had to pull a permit.
Right.
Where else their license thing is about three other cities. So.
Right.
Okay, since that one, I've had comments from neighbors.
I'm sure.
That say, it looks really nice. I want to do it too.
Oh.
They thought that
it's a great idea.
The neighbor thinks that it's a very nice thing and it adds to the appearance of the house. So I was hoping that one did not exceed the percentage. Actually, the loop drive is very narrow. It's only maybe 9 feet wide or something. And the side yard goes much farther to the south than you think it does. I walked it tonight. I took a look at it. That one doesn't object. What I object to is when somebody just decides they need to have their full front yard and parking so we can park vehicles during the day when we're running a business out of our house or at night when we're running a business out of the house. But a driveway that they put it in, if you notice, there's a basketball
there is now,
backstop
right.
There with a net on it. And not a back net, not just the net up at the hoop. And that one just doesn't seem to bother me as much as some of these other ones like we have.
Yeah, I have a U-turn driveway next to me on a cul-de-sac lot. It almost is the whole front yard.
Is there any other discussion or questions from council members?
Well, this seems to me like a step in the right direction. It may not solve all our problems, but it's a step in the right direction. The question I had was, the zoning administrator, the recommendation is for discretion for abnormal occurrences. Isn't that why we have a BZA?
That's correct, Mr. Hanum. I did not include that specific discretion language in the proposed legislation.
Okay.
There was no way to legislate that.
The one thing, the two primary purposes of that were the three-car garages that I mentioned earlier. And then also, if you have, the main reason that people put in new driveways, and it's not everywhere, of course, but the main reason is if you have a side load garage, but it side loads to the inside of your lot, rather than the inside. You have a lot of new drives there, and, you know, it probably may exceed the 35%, but we can't prevent somebody from building a side load garage type home if that's what they want to build. So, in those instances, you know, rather than force the BZA issue or make them file, because they have to pay all of the advertising fee charges and that kind of stuff, we said those we'll take a look at and rather than taking them through that process, just approve it.
Well,
you know, I thought about that, we can start that language.
The language isn't included. We'd have to add it. There's no way to include that in the codified ordinances. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I looked at that and I thought, yeah, there's just no way we can. That's like granting Tim authority to just kind of be his own BZA. Yeah, I think that they will, if they do want to exceed what the code says, they'll have to go through the BZA process, which I understand is cumbersome, but, right, exactly. Those don't occur every day.
Did we fix the problem with the BZA with the own choice act issue? Remember, we had some language in the variance saying we couldn't grant variances if the problem was caused by the homeowner?
That language still exists.
So how do we do the three-car, or how do we do the inward-facing garage issue?
Yeah, that's something to talk about, for sure. We might have to modify the criteria for granting a variance.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, you've created a lot of problems. Thank you. Yeah, no, I understand.
Expressing concerns, appropriate. That's where it starts.
Right. Well, I think this legislation is clearly appropriate. The fact that there are other issues just means we have more work to do.
And I think that's something we should consider, moving
right.
This legislation forward and referring to zoning committee to resolve these other issues.
Yeah.
This property that the server was concerned about, that's what started this process moving forward. But it does create other things.
Okay, thank you. So, is there a motion to advance this legislation to City Council this evening?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to advance legislation for ordinance number 30-2017 to Council this evening. And I expect there'll be further discussion then about other elements of the conversation tonight being referred to the Zoning Committee for further discussion. With that, I will call this public hearing closed and complete. Thank you.